Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, Sydney, Jeremy Zakas joins to report on the weatherman reporting on the summer ahead. This is the Southern Hemisphere. They're in springtime coming summer, just as here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're in the fall coming winter. Jeremy, we've talked about your extreme conditions for several weeks. Right now, there's a prediction from the Bureau of Meteorology that you've got a hot summer ahead. How hot, and what does that mean for, one, fire risk, and two, rain? Are you going to get rain? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Yes, I can say, firstly, it's going to be hot and very, very hot. And when I say hot, we're talking temperatures well and truly into the 40 degrees Celsius range for us, which is around about 110 Fahrenheit. So imagine, John, that you're just getting 110 degrees day in, day out, with no reprieve whatsoever, so no rain, no real coolness coming through. That's pretty much what our summer's characterised. But at the same time, and this is where it gets a little bit weird, we're also being warned that while we have those periods, the very dry, very hot periods, we're also going to get the very, very wet periods. So to go straight to your second question, we're actually going to get very, very, very rainy periods up and down the East Coast here in Australia, particularly up in the north part of where Queensland is, and potentially going to get cyclones. So there's going to be a very wet period on top of the summer. But then we're going to get the fire risk because, of course, when it rains, of course, it grows a lot of undergrowth. And then we'll get the very, very dry cycles on top of it, which will happen pretty much during the 3 months of summer, which means that we could potentially get catastrophic fires once again. And in fact, here in Sydney, that's what's really been predicted by the Bureau of Meteorology. We're being warned that while Queensland will probably be the one that gets the cyclones, the rain, the really, really wild storms, here in Sydney, we're likely to get the very, very dry weather, which means we could be heading towards a very strong bushfire summer. So again, John, the country's all over the place, but this time, unlike last year, we've been warned about it as an official thing to look forward to, not just something that may happen.
El Nino. I've been reading about El Nino once upon a time. For the last 500 million years, we're concerned with El Nino here in the 21st century. There was that expectation of El Nino coming back after having given us 1 year off. Is that used as an explanation for your very hot summer because of El Nino?
It is. It is, in fact. It's El Nino seems to be the driver for all of this. And the reason for that, John, is because El Nino is driving the warming of the oceans around Australia. And Australia does have two massive oceans either side of it. We have the Pacific on the right to the east, and then we have the Indian Ocean on the left to the west. And what that means is when those oceans actually warm up, they put a lot more moisture into the atmosphere. So during El Nino conditions, the atmosphere over Australia has a lot more moisture in it and a lot more mixture with the dry, arid conditions coming off of the desert. But what that means is once you get the moisture into the atmosphere, it can, one, create very, very stormy situations, very, very stormy conditions, which we tend to get up in the tropical areas, which dump a lot of rain in very quick succession into small parts of the land and create flooding conditions and all those devastating, wild weather events that we see in Queensland. But at the same time, as with everything on the planet, it's always some kind of balance. It actually draws moisture from other parts of the country in Australia. So it actually dry out the southern parts of Australia while there's a very, very wild, wet, stormy sort of tropical system happening in the north. So all that warming of the temperature, I guess you could think of it, is almost like, in some ways, like a convection oven that actually creates a movement of the atmosphere where one part will get all that moisture, but it draws it away from another part at the same time, leaving that very dry. So El Nino, John, honestly, it seems to be the driver of everything. And I think here in Australia, because we have the deserts, because we have such vast oceans and tropical conditions, we tend to feel it much more than some other countries just because of the sheer nature of where we are.
Jeremy's in the south. I'm in the north. But we share, first, Aurora Borealis. It's been a big story here for a week now. the aurora borealis, the green and purple and red colors overhead. Do you have them in New South Wales?
We do. And it was actually very spectacular here, probably for the first time in a long time, because here in Sydney, we're often a little bit too high up in the latitude to see the really clear ones that we get down in the southern latitudes, like in Tasmania, quite often. But this week, I can say, John, I actually was able to see them, particularly on Friday morning when at around 4 a.m., I got up, just had a quick look to the south, and sure enough, there were lots of flickering colors of reds and orange. And it was quite amazing because it would sort of be all there at once and just this complete sheen across the sky, I guess you could say, that was absolutely spectacular. And then it would disappear and then it would come back again. So it really was a light show, that something we had never really seen here in Sydney. And hopefully, again, we're going to see it again, because we've been told that the geomagnetic storms, as they're characterizing them here, coming from the sun, may actually cause it again over the next few days. So fingers crossed the clouds are going to stay away. But honestly, John, the aurora has been truly spectacular down here.
There's something else we share, the comet. We have the comet now to the west around sunset. Tsuchin Shan, Atlas, is the second part of the comet. Do you have the comet?
We do. In fact, we had it here just to the west about a week ago, and it was truly spectacular. We could just see it with our naked eye. It looked like a bit of a fuzzy apparition on the horizon, but it was definitely very clear. I managed to get, I've got a telescope. We got that up and had a quick look at it too, and it was truly, truly spectacular as well. But we're about to get it a week from now again, but this time it will actually be in the east. So it's going to swing around to the other side, and we should be able to actually see it with the naked eye just before sunrise. So, John, it's been quite crazily, spectacular in our skies here in Sydney. We've been treated.
One more detail. Queensland has wacky weather. So should I stop paying attention to Queensland? It never seems to be anything but strange compared to the rest of Australia.
It seems to be the oddball. And honestly, John, we know Queensland has some wild weather, but truly in the last maybe couple of years, it's just gone completely off the planet. Right now, we're seeing Queensland going into what should be a summer period where there's, you know, a little bit of storm activity, but not normally that much. Instead, what's happening as we speak, it's just got torrential rain, it's getting storms, it's getting kind of cyclonic events without having the cyclone, but it is getting worse. It really is getting more and more difficult for the Bureau of Meteorology to predict what's going to happen on any given day there, because the Queensland weather is just so wacky. And in some ways, it's what we've spoken about just a second ago about the El Nino, and that's creating these vastly different weather systems to what we're used to. But at the same time too, because we've had some very dry sort of periods here in the wintertime that we normally wouldn't get, poor old Queenslanders, John, they're just absolutely copying it right now with some very, very strange weather.
Simmering oceans could lead to the most active cyclone season in years, with the Bureau of Meteorology expecting 11 named storms in the Australian region, including a risk of severe Category 3 or above. Now, you say cyclone. Is that what we call a hurricane? Are they the same?
They are very similar. I believe the hurricanes themselves actually are more powerful. So cyclones, while large and vast and devastating, the cyclones themselves, there is a technicality. They form in the tropics. They have a lot of power, but they tend to fizzle out into a storm much quicker, whereas the hurricanes, as you're getting them at the moment, tend to be a lot longer in duration. They tend to be a lot larger in land, in space, and they tend to actually create a lot more, I believe, storm surges and other problems, whereas the cyclones that we tend to get have a lot more winds associated. And while we do get a bit of storm surge, it's not quite as powerful as the hurricanes. But I think the other difference, from if I remember correctly, is that cyclones we tend to get more frequently. So we'll tend to get one after the other, after the other, after the other. Whereas with hurricanes, you'll maybe get one or two, and then the energy is out of the system, and it doesn't really continue on like that. But cyclones is a kind of like an enduring event sometimes, unfortunately.
All right, the big warning for summer in Australia, unusually high temperatures. That's the Bureau of Meteorology. We're going to creatures. There's a koala bear who fancies himself a train engineer. He needs to be rescued when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.